The bad boy swinging.
Hello, sex fans. Welcome back. Today is Monday, February 13th, 2012, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge.
What are you, some Wonder Boy?
No, I'm your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. Hey, everybody, happy Valentine's Day. And guess what? This week's show marks my 5th anniversary of podcasting. I know. Isn't it fucking great? I mean, who would have guessed that we'd had such a long run? And what a year it has been, too. I brought you fascinating interviews with remarkable people for all of my series. The Play With It series, which features conversations with folks in the adult products industry. The Sex Education series, which features chats with kinksters and porn stars and advocates for alternative lifestyles. The Sex Wisdom series, which brings you interviews with movers and shakers in the field of human sexuality. And, of course, the Erotic Mind series, which is now 4 years old.
Let me give you a little advice, sonny boy. Never bull a bull artist. I can sling it with the best of them.
Okay. But today, I have a bunch of very interesting questions from the sexually worrisome to dazzle you with. So let's launch ourselves into year 6 with a bang. This week's special anniversary podcast is once again brought to you by DrDickSexAdvice.com and DrDickSexToyReviews.com. That's right, sex fans. Our sponsor today is me. You'll have to excuse this shameless self-promotion, but I wanted to call your attention to a standing invitation for everyone in my audience to support and underwrite these marvelous shows. I'm exceptionally proud of the quality programming I've been bringing you, my international audience. Over the last 5 years, I've presented a variety of extraordinarily informative, enriching, and entertaining shows. Interesting interviews, enlightening Q&A, and even some fun product reviews. I mean, where else can you find such diverse sex-positive programming? And all of this always comes to you absolutely free.
Talk plain, pal.
All right. So right about now, you're probably asking yourself, hey, Dr. Dick, how can I support and underwrite this effort? Well, I'll tell you. Just mosey on over to either one of my sites, DrDickSexAdvice.com or DrDickSexToyReviews.com, and look for the donate button. It's a blue, heart-shaped icon. Click on it, make your contribution, any amount will do, but those folks donating $50 or more will receive a swell thank you gift. Excellent personal lube, smutty porn DVDs, wonderful sex toys, or some delicious erotica. Be the first one on your block to join me in bringing the world this fun, informative, and enlightening programming. And now, I'm processing donations with PayPal, so it's even easier than before to make your contributions.
You stick around, play your cards right, I'll put you on the payroll, you know what I mean?
Don't need to be on your payroll, sir. Just a little contribution for you will be fine. Now, before we turn our attention to my correspondence, I'd like to remind you of the toll-free Lickety-Split, Sex Advice, Podcast, Voicemail, Hotline. And that number is 866-422-5680. Got a question? A comment? Do you want to rant or rave for a bit? Or maybe you just got to talk dirty for a minute or two. Why not get it off your chest and give Dr. Dick a call at 866-422-5680. No need to be shy, my friends, because this is voicemail. No human's going to answer your call, least of all me. And besides, calling the hotline will almost guarantee you a place in one of my podcasts. Okay, on with the show. Let's kick off today's show by listening to a very curious voicemail message.
Hey, yes, my name is Danny. I'm 32 years old. I'm calling from Tennessee. My question is, will an antidepressant go off, and when you put it on the head of your day, will it go off and stop you from coming so quick? Please get back to me.
I confess, I'm totally stumped, pal. I haven't a clue about what you're talking about. I mean, I understand each of the words you use. I simply don't understand how they fit together. If I hear you correctly, I think you're asking if applying an antidepressant to the head of your dick will make you last longer. But how would you get an antidepressant on the head of your dick? Don't antidepressants come in a pill form? I do know that antidepressants can and indeed impact on one's sexual response cycle, and sometimes the impact is in the arousal phase, like diminishing libido, and sometimes the impact is on the orgasmic phase, like delaying or even prohibiting an orgasm. But that happens when these medications build up in one's system. I don't see how applying an antidepressant directly to your dick is going to make that happen. Besides, do you really want to introduce an antidepressant into somebody's pussy or asshole? I don't think so. However, you are in luck, because learning to last longer is a relatively easy thing for any man to accomplish. Simply follow one or another of the following techniques, and you will have greater control over your trigger in no time. You may want to start this process on your own, but then you and a partner can work on this together. It will be like one of them Oprah bonding moments, don't you know? If you are like most men, your wank sessions are speedy little affairs. We all know that squeezing one off just to relieve sexual tension is a good thing in some instances. But years of this same behavior will habituate your body to having a very short fuse in all instances, if you know what I mean. If your body is habituated to coming quickly, like when you're jerking off just to relieve sexual tension, then that's how it's going to respond later when you're with your partner. No big mystery there, right? So I suggest that you begin your effort to last longer by fundamentally changing your self-pleasuring activity. Most, if not all, of your masturbation from now on should be dedicated to full body masturbation. The purpose of this kind of masturbation is to play with and move around the sexual energy that is building up in your when you pull your pud. The object here is to delay for as long as you can shooting your wad. What in the hell is full body masturbation, you ask? Well, it's pretty simple, actually. You will be moving the sexual energy from your stiff cock all over the rest of your body. Since this is a sexual enhancement exercise and not just a means of getting off, you will have to dedicate some time to this effort. I instruct the men that I see in my private practice to allot 30 minutes a day, three times a week, for these exercises. So if you can't see your way to spend that kind of time to overcome your premature ejaculation, you are not really all that motivated to change. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to touch and pleasure your whole body while you are stroking your cock. You are to make the pleasure last as long as you can. You may even want to incorporate a vibrating toy into this exercise. So as you reach the point where you feel your ejaculation is near, stop stroking your dick immediately and play with some other part of your body, tits, asshole, feet, etc. And when the urge to come subsides, you can start to stroke again. I want you to do this over and over until you can last the full 30 minutes. Remember, the object here, I mean, besides the joy of touching and pleasuring your whole body, is to retrain your sexual response cycle. If you practice this method consistently, it will increase your sexual stamina. You will also be able to learn a swell way to extend your partner sex play, too. Check it out. When you're having sex with a partner, I want the two of you to do the very same thing as when you are masturbating. Spread that sexual energy around. Don't just focus on your dick. Concentrate on building up your sexual tension, playing with that tension, and stalling your ejaculation. If you're fucking and you're getting close to shooting, pull out of the penetration. Turn your attention elsewhere, like to her clit, for example, until you regain your ejaculatory control. Then you can reinsert. This is known as the start and stop method of lasting longer. Only my way of doing it ensures that you will know more about your sexual response cycle from your full body masturbation. Your building sexual tension will not take you by surprise. You'll also know what to do when you feel yourself getting close. You'll stop thrusting, but you won't have to stop sex altogether. Rather, you'll seamlessly turn your attention to other pleasurable activities before you resume the actual fuck. After 30 minutes of a day, 3 times a week, for 2 to 6 weeks of this stop and start method, you'll notice a marked improvement in your sexual stamina. In time, this will become second nature to you. It's just like learning to ride a bike, only completely different. There are several other techniques I can tell you all about, but I'll save those for another time. Good luck! Next, we hear from Daniel, who's 59 and writes from Italy. The subject for older men treated for prostate cancer. Is it possible to have gay sex after a prostatectomy? I am now impotent, no woody, and no semen. Is receptive anal sex safe after recovering from the operation? What can I do to maximize pleasure without prostate stimulation? And is fisting possible or safe? You know, Daniel, I've written and spoken extensively about this very topic. I suggest you return to my site and look for the category pull-down menu in the sidebar of my site. Look for the main category, Health Concerns. Under that, you will find a subcategory, Prostatectomy. Click on it, and it will take you to 2 podcasts and a written entry that I have done on the subject. You can also use the search function in the header, type in prostate cancer, and that will bring up even more stuff. Here's the kind of stuff that you will find. A fellow named Mark, who was 38 and living in Texas, wrote, I have a radical prostatectomy. I have recovered completely, and I would like to know if it would be dangerous for me to engage in anal sex. Thanks for the information. And I responded to him by saying, I don't think it will be dangerous, but I do suggest you proceed with caution. Here's why I say that. The surgery you had not only removed your prostate, seminal vesicles, and tips of your vas deferens, it may have also removed surrounding fat, nerves, pelvic lymph nodes, and blood vessels. In other words, things are not as they used to be down there. Many of the men I know have had this type of surgery report that they don't have the same sensations in their ass they once had. And sensation is not only for pleasure. Sensation will also alert us if we are injuring ourselves. So after a radical prostatectomy, men experience dry orgasms in which there is no ejaculation. There are 2 reasons for this. One, the 2 structures most responsible for the fluid in jizz, the prostate and the seminal vesicles, have been removed. And the vas deferens, the tube that transports sperm from the testicles, have been shut down. And 2, the muscle that closes the bladder, allowing a guy's spunk to move out of his cock rather than into his bladder, has been destroyed. So instead of shooting out, what is left of his spooge becomes retrograde and shoots into his bladder. A dry orgasm doesn't necessarily affect a guy's desire for sex or his arousal, but many men do report they feel less confident as a lover without the familiar and very pleasurable ejaculation. Luckily, as we all know, an orgasm and an ejaculation are not one and the same thing. A guy can have a very pleasurable orgasm without an ejaculation. So most men also notice a significant change in their erections post-surgery. This is also complicated if there is radiation therapy after the surgery. Sometimes it can take over a year after surgery for things to get back to an semblance of normalcy. I know that this is a little off topic, but I thought I'd mention it anyway for those in my audience less familiar with this type of surgery and its aftermath. I've had several doctors tell me that a radical prostatectomy doesn't affect the anus or rectum. They go on to say, once a patient gets over the pain associated with the surgery and the incision fully heals, he's able to have anal sex again without restriction. While I wholeheartedly applaud their plucky optimism, I'm always have the same response. I'll bet you're not a big old bottom, huh? No avid butt pirate would ever make such a claim. You see, a good part of being a bottom in ass-fucking is the joy of having a cock or a strap-on massage our prostate and all the nerve-ending rich areas surrounding our prostate. When that's gone, even though one has fully healed and capable, once again, of taking it up the ass, anal sex will never be the same. Besides, there's often muscle damage in the area that will also complicate things. So allow me to repeat my answer to your question, Mark. I don't think a return to ass-fucking will be dangerous, but caution is advised. Here's what I have suggested to others who have asked similar questions. I advise you to take your time to reacquaint yourself with your nether regions. Find out how it feels to have a dildo in your ass. In this solitary play, you'll be in charge of how deep it goes and what kind of thrusting will work best for you. But be sure to note that the sensations at your butthole and your anal canal, at the external and internal sphincters, in your rectum and beyond, most likely than not, all of these areas will feel different than they once did. Some pivotal spots, like where your prostate once was, may have no sensation whatsoever. This is where you need to be careful. Just because you can't find it doesn't mean that you can't injure it. Once you've taken stock of how things feel down there, and what kind of sensations you're having, and where, you'll have a whole lot more information to pass on to your partners when the time comes. And I'd be willing to bet that even the most sensitive partner will have some misgivings about mounting you. Most will have the fear that they might hurt you, and nothing shrinks a boner like fearful anticipation. You'll probably also find some of your previous partners are not going to feel comfortable plugging away at you at all. I know it sounds cuckoo, but many a man has told me that they feel creepy about fucking somebody with prostate cancer, even someone who is fully recovered. Such is the nature of cancer in our culture. It's not a real big aphrodisiac. Okay, good luck. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail hotline telephone number again? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Don't be shy. Let it fly. Next, we hear from Janet, who's 38 and writes from Ohio. She writes, how do I know if sex toys are right for my partner and me? I'm 38 and he's 43. Neither of us have tried them. This is a very easy question to answer. Here's what I want you to do. Go back to my website, drdicksexadvice.com, and look for the toy reviews tab in the header. Click on it, and it will take you to drdicksextoyreviews.com. There are oodles and oodles of reviews of all kinds of adult-related goodies. Sex toys for sure, but also condoms, lubes, fetish gear, as well as educational and enrichment videos. You can also search either of the sites, Dr. Dick's Sex Advice or Dr. Dick's Sex Toy Reviews, using the words Sex Toy Awareness. This category gives you an overview of some of the best products available. And, of course, if you're looking for something a bit more edgy or kinky, there is Dr. Dick's Stockroom. You'll find this treasure trove of sexually stimulating toys, implements, and fetish wear and gear right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the Dr. Dick's Stockroom banner in the sidebar of my site. Good luck! Next up, we hear from someone who identifies him or herself as Tierra Lee. He or she writes, "Hey, I have a new boyfriend, and his dick is kind of large. I was wondering if there are any positions or something to help it go in easier. Please help." I hear tell that the cowgirl position and the reverse cowgirl position are really good for fucking a heavy-hung dude. I hear that any position where you will be on top is good because these positions give you more control over the thrusting and the depth of the thrusts. There are also positions that allow you to be on your side with him entering you from behind. For a rundown on a bunch of very useful positions, you can search my site for my sexual enrichment tutorial called Basic Sexual Positions for One and All. Type in those words in the search function in the header of my site, and you will be taken directly to that posting. Good luck! Next is a guy who identifies himself as Love Uniforms, and he writes, "In gay sex, how safe is it to piss inside a man's ass? Are there any problems with this kind of sexual practice?" Well, the simple answer is that depends. Piss enemas are riskier than drinking piss. I say that because one's colon is more permeable than one's stomach, and so what is introduced into your ass will enter your bloodstream faster than if you drink something. And since there are a few drugs, both recreational and pharmaceutical, that pass through the body either partially unchanged or entirely unchanged, like those nasty amphetamines and their derivatives, a piss drinker will get really high from drinking a druggie's piss. So multiply that for a piss enema. I have some suggested reading for you. Go to my site and search for the term water sports. That's one word, not two. And you will find a posting called Splish Splash that will give you lots more information. Good luck. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail hotline telephone number that you keep talking about? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Write it down. Again, 866-422-5680. And remember, it's free. Here's an interesting exchange I had with a young woman named Amber. She writes, "Hello. I've been with my boyfriend for over a year and have been having issues with pain during sex. It wasn't very bad at first, but over time it has become a major issue. I've seen a gynecologist multiple times and have been treated for yeast, changed birth control, and have been given estrogen cream. None are helping a noticeable amount. My sex drive is very low now, which is not helping. Me and my boyfriend have tried different lubricants and positions to see if it takes the pressure off the painful area around the back of the rim, which is starting to get me emotionally because I want to be able to satisfy him without being in pain or always trying to be careful, which ends up hurting anyway. I was wondering if you had any advice to help with either the pain or maybe a suggestion for therapy if you think that would help. Thank you, Amber." What you tell me is distressing, Amber, but not all that unusual, I'm sorry to say. I've worked with several women over the years with similar problems as you. I have a number of questions I would ask if we were working together. First and foremost is, when you masturbate, do you use a dildo for insertion? How long has this problem been plaguing you guys? Before the problem arose, was intercourse pain-free? How old are you? How old is he? Your gynecologist couldn't find any organic problem? Is fucking the only kind of sex you guys are interested in? Is your sex life dependent on intercourse? When you ask about therapy, are you asking about setting up an appointment for a consultation, or were you just using that word more generically? If you're interested in talking to me about this, take a look at the Therapy Available tab in the header of my site. She writes back, I tend only to masturbate externally, but I will use a dildo for insertion occasionally. Lately, not as often as I used to. The problem has been occurring for over a year now, as long as I've been dating, and I've always experienced pain throughout the relationship. But he is the only person I've ever had sex with. I'm 20, and he's 21. As far as my gynecologist, she noticed some small paper-like cuts in the area that caused pain, and that led to her to believe that I had a yeast infection. Another thing that led her to this conclusion was that my urine had been burning a bit when I would go to the restroom. Other than the changes of birth control and estrogen cream, she has not had any other treatments and has stated that she doesn't know what it is. Fucking is the only kind of sex we have tried, other than head. Personally, my sex life is not dependent on intercourse, and my boyfriend has told me that this is not that big of a deal for him either, although I would like to be able to enjoy it without worrying that the pain will keep getting worse or that I'm not pleasuring him in the right ways. As far as therapy, it was said as a general question, but me and my boyfriend agree that it might be help us in some way, so we might be willing to try it. We are just both on a budget, and we're not sure who to go to, if it is something we should do at all. Thank you for all this new information, I wrote back to her. It's very helpful. I have two quick observations. Your current boyfriend, being your only partner, and the fact that you don't generally masturbate with an insertion, leads me to think that perhaps there is a performance issue here. More about that later. My second thought is that if your physician found small cuts and you had a burning sensation when you pee, I suggest there may very well be an organic issue here, too. I still have a bunch of questions. The most important is, are you orgasmic? I eagerly suggest that you guys talk to a professional about this. I'm thinking, with the proper help, you'll be able to get to the bottom of this in no time. Finding the right therapist is key. Here's a resource. The American College of Sexologists. And you can find them at americancollegeofsexologists.org. Check out their directory and see if there's anyone near where you live. I'd be happy to work with you guys myself. If you looked at that link that I told you about last time, you will have noticed that I do therapy and counseling via phone and Skype for those who are not in Seattle, and I have a sliding scale for those who are on a budget. I suggest that this intervention will be short-term. Let me know your thoughts. So Amber wrote back and said, what sort of performance issues do you mean? And for organic, I'm not sure I know what you mean. Is it how my body reacts? Yes, I'm orgasmic, but much more so externally than internally. I'll take a look at your suggestion for therapy with my boyfriend and see what it, if there's something that we can do. Thank you. I wrote back. By performance, I mean, does your boyfriend know what he's doing with his penis in and around your vagina? A lot of guys don't. That's why I asked. I understand about being orgasmic more externally than internally. And she writes back, well, he has more experience than I do, but I'm not sure if that it's an issue. It could be, but I don't know how to tell. So finally I said, that's why I suggest a professional intervention, my dear. A good sex therapist will help you to discern precisely that. Good luck. Next we hear from a woman who's 18, writes from Ohio. Her name is Ash. I found that I am not sexually attracted to anyone in real life, but if I'm watching porn, both sexes do it for me. What does this mean? It means you need to get out more. I mean, really. Maybe you don't need to be attracted to any other human to have a satisfying sex life, but I doubt it. I'm all for fantasy, and porn is fantasy, but fantasy is not reality, and you, my dear, are a real person. Maybe you could begin by asking yourself why you're so resistant to the sexual charms of real people. Or what is it about fantasy people that you find so appealing, but that turns you off about real people? You may discover some startling information about yourself if you follow these lines of inquiry. Maybe real people and real relationships are more challenging than simply living inside your head, and it appears that you have chosen the path of the least resistance. However, I encourage you to seriously rethink this. You're not doing anyone, least of all yourself, any favors by allowing porn to fill this void. Good luck. Hey, Dr. Dick, will you tell us that toll-free podcast voicemail hotline number again? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Write it down. 866-422-5680. Now, here's Nikki. I don't know anything more about him other than his name. He writes, Dear Doc, I have one ball with my penis. I saw many porn videos, and I saw generally that a man has two balls with his penis. Also, kindly tell me whether any problem will be created in my future life with this condition. Please reply fast. I'm waiting. Regards. All right, Nikki. Having one ball instead of two is not that uncommon. It's called monogonadism. Some guys are born that way, and some guys have a ball removed because of an injury or a disease like cancer. Having one healthy ball shouldn't be a problem, at least not in terms of fathering children, and having one ball will not affect your sexual performance in any way. Some guys with just one ball have been concerned about appearance, but that's not an issue for everyone. However, if you need more information about this topic, I suggest you go to the categories drop-down menu in the sidebar of my site, drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the main category, Health Concerns, and under that, look for the subcategory, Monogonad. You'll be taken to a posting that's all about that. Good luck. Now, here's an exchange that I had with a woman who identifies herself as Kristen. She writes, Should I be concerned if my partner is hornier than usual? He's being more daring than normal. I once heard that this could mean that he is cheating. Should I be concerned about cheating? Gosh, Kristen, most folks would rejoice to discover that their partner is feeling more randy than usual. And most people would be delighted to get all the sexual attention that they could handle. And most people would be so grateful for their good fortune that they would not look the proverbial gift horse in the mouth. Of course, there are those, and you appear to be one of them, who can't help themselves but find the cloud to every silver lining. If you think your partner is cheating, why don't you simply confront him? Of course, if you do this, you will surely upset all the good stuff that is currently coming your way. But I sense that you need to do this anyhow, regardless of the consequences. I'm going to go way out on a limb here and guess that you have a very suspicious nature. You sound like you're the kind of person that lets no good deed go unpunished. So let me ask you, if your partner were ignoring you sexually, would that too be a sign of his possible infidelity? If so, that says to me that your partner can't win for losing. And I hasten to add that this kind of behavior is not the least bit attractive. Wouldn't you agree? So, if he is cheating, maybe your behaviors have something to do with it. Good luck. Now, she writes back and she says, "Very true. Good points for me to look at. You are correct about the things I need to change. I appreciate your email." And I wrote back, "Good for you, darling. Here's a tip. Reward your partner's bump in libido with your own heightened sexual creativity. Outdo him in your sexual daring. The two of you could be absolutely explosive together. It's also a surefire way to keep a roaming partner home. Make your bedroom the most exciting place for him to be, and he won't need to wander." Kristen writes back, "Thanks. I like the sound of that." All right. Finally, there's this from a guy whose name is Robin. "I'm in my mid-60s. Always thought I was straight, despite some disturbing incidents, including being picked up by a gay guy, then running away and regretting my cowardice ever since. Some time ago, my therapist pointed out that I was passive, as though that was obvious. This didn't sound good, and I was annoyed for a while. Eventually, I came to realize I was passive, and at the same time became less passive. Then I realized that I was reading a lot of gay fiction, often featuring passive, that is, submissive men. These were often cross-dressers, which I found very exciting. I remember in my teens being excited by my young girlfriend beginning to wear high heels. This has to connect with everything else somehow, right? Now, if I knew of a gentle, loving, gay guy who found me attractive, I'd go to him. But I find most men, though okay, not very attractive. What do I do? I could start to haunt gay bars. I could dress up in the privacy of my apartment. I love that orange lipstick. Or I could sweetly wait for death. It can't be too long now. Help. Signed, Robin." I really liked your story and how you tell of yourself and your sexual misadventures. But there's a sadness there too, huh? There are so many could-haves and should-haves in your story, and now you're in your mid-60s. Seems to me like there's no time like the present to start acting on some of your fantasies you've been deferring all these years, right? The waiting sweetly for death option sounds really defeatist to me. Don't you agree? So listen, you and I are about the same age. And the beauty part of being this old is that we get to act a little nutty from time to time. People kind of expect it. People smile and say, "Oh, leave him alone, he's old." So why not go out there and have yourself a ball? I know that I would. I want to turn you on to a couple of podcasts I think you should listen to. There are two parts of an interview that I did with an extraordinary crossdresser, Deborah Christina Darling. You'll find them on my site, drdicksexadvice.com, by using the site's search function. Simply type in her name, Deborah, Christina, Darling, and you'll be taken directly to the podcast. I hope you enjoy them as much as I did. Good luck. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next week, Wednesday, for a super-duper podcast interview with porn star Connor Habib. He'll be here as part of the Sex Education series, Don't You Know? Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's Sex Advice and Dr. Dick's Sex Toy Reviews.com.
Listen, pal, so far I've been nice to you. Don't pump me.
Simply put, I need your help to continue to provide shows like the one you just heard. But you must be asking yourself, hey, why should I make a donation? Well, I'll tell you. Infrastructure and administrative costs for a free site like this are astronomical. So if you like what you see and hear, if you enjoy all the wonderful features of DrDickSexAdvice.com and DrDickSexToyReviews.com, then I invite you to make a modest one-time donation online. We suggest a donation between $20 and $50, but any amount will be gladly accepted.
Don't tell me what to do!
This is a one-time donation. There are no automatic credit card renewals or processing fees, and you can be certain that every dime you donate will go to support this valuable sex-positive effort. Finally, your donation underscores your social conscience. Your sponsorship helps disseminate badly needed sex education and sexual enrichment messages throughout the entire world. I thank you in advance for your generosity. So until next time, remember, sex is good, and good sex, why, that's even better. Over and out.